everyone. I'm T.D. Worthington, pastor of the Pathway Baptist Church in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and this is Pathlight, and we're so glad to have you tuned in to today's broadcast. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your day, and thank you for being a part of the Pathlight family. And we'll be with you for the next 25, 30 minutes or so of Bible study and fellowship. A message today from the Word of God entitled Tools, Toys, and Idols. Tools, Toys, and Idols. I hope you will stay with us for the entire program. I've got just about enough time to mention to you a very important ministry of ours, and that is Pathway Christian Academy in Goldsboro. Pathway Christian Academy, we've been in existence now for well over 30 years, and we've been sharing an academically sound Christian education in a good, wholesome environment from our campus in Goldsboro. And if you happen to live in the Wayne County, Goldsboro area, and you have a child in K-4 right on up through grade 12, and you're interested in looking into some alternatives, educational alternatives for your children, we invite you to inquire at Pathway Christian Academy. Now, we have limited availability. Some of our classes, quite honestly, are already filled, and we have waiting lists. But why don't you call and check it out if you think you'd be interested? We may just have room and for your child. You can check out the website at pathwayacademy.org. Again, that's pathwayacademy.org. Or if you'd like to just give us a call, you may do so to our Goldsboro campus. And here again, that information is available on the website. Check it all out. And again, if you'd like to inquire further, we'll be glad to set up an appointment for you to speak with someone, tour the campus, and just take a look around and see if it might be something that that interests you. And I think it indeed very well might be. Again, our scripture today, we're going to be looking in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, and the title is Tools, Toys, and Idols. But just before today's message, I've got a musical selection coming your way by Charles Johnson.
There are hills in my pathway that I must climb. There's a wilderness out in front of me that I must go through. There's a river I must cross just before I get home, but I won't have to cross it meet me at the bank of the river. He'll take me to the other side. The water may be troubled, the wind may blow strong, but I won't have to cross it alone. Now this road I travel is called the straight and narrow, and I'll take each step in Jesus' name. When I come down to the river, just this side of that sweet forever, I won't have to cross it alone. This is why Jesus will meet me at the bank of the river. He'll take me to the other side. The water may be troubled, the wind may blow strong, but I won't have to cross it alone. To my sisters and brothers on this road to life eternal, sometimes the way seems so cold. When you come down to the Jordan, this side of home. You won't have to cross it alone. Help me sing the song, children. Jesus will meet you at the bank of the river. He'll take you to the other side. Trouble, the wind may blow strong, but you won't have to cross it alone. Jesus will meet me at the bank of the river. He'll take me to the other side.
I'm holding in my hand right now a smartphone, a cell phone, and it's a very, very useful and usually very reliable tool. It can be a very valuable tool, as a matter of fact. And of course, so can be your tablet or laptop or desktop or whatever it is that you might use. It's a phone, it's a watch, it's a map, it's a camera, it's dozens of other things that can help us with our daily lives. There's a multitude of apps, as you well know, that you can download and utilize to, well, just help you through your day. Of course, now it's also a toy. I can use it to play games, enjoy pictures and videos or music, or engage in hours of sometimes useless and trivial conversations or internet searches. But it can also be an idol. Something that leads us away from better things, robs us of our time, and sometimes leads us down dark roads best not traveled. Today I'm speaking to you on the subject of tools, toys, and idols. Usually we picture an idol as being, well, as being an idol, maybe made of gold or something like that. But just as Satan can manifest himself as an angel of light, modern idols can masquerade as other things. When we think of idols, we might think of some statue that men may pay homage to or maybe even fall down and worship. Whether it's deities or symbols of fertility or objects of fear, objects of knowledge, protection, maybe luck, man loves his idols. Sometimes in history, animals were used as idols. People saw animals as having strength, sometimes the ability to ward off predators. Some were even admired for their beauty or grace or their intellect. The most well-known of these was probably the cat. Egyptians particularly worshiped the cat. Other cultures worshiped crocodiles or cows or snakes, and bugs can get into anything. They even get into the idol mix. The Bible talks about us worshiping creeping things. Egyptians reverence, for example, the dragonfly or the praying mantis or the scarab beetle. Of course, idols don't always come in the form of animals or bugs or carved statues or anything like that, nor do they always reside in places of worship or great temples. Many modern-day idols can be innocent-looking objects, but still do a great deal of harm. Actually, when I come to think of it, this might be the first generation where many of our idols are actually, well, they're actually toys. I don't picture a person back in Bible days who worshiped Diana or Zeus allowing their children to take the statue down and play with it in the floor. Probably not. They'd say, this is not a toy. This is an idol. But today our idols can be toys. Now, man has always enjoyed his toys. We know that. It may have been a car or a set of golf clubs that stole your time, money, and attention. Maybe a television set. Maybe it was your comic book collection. For ladies, perhaps it was sewing or your scrapbook or doll collection or flowers. These things can certainly bring enjoyment. And any of these can steal an undue amount of our time, money, and attention. But none of these things were really, well, none of these things were really essential. We didn't hold on to them at all costs. Most guys, when I was young, who spent every Saturday shining up their sports car, well, they sold it after they started a family. Having a wife and children with a two-seat sports car just really didn't make a lot of sense, so the guys got rid of them and ended up with a minivan, something they probably swore they'd never have. Most knew that their toys could not interfere with their more important commitments and responsibilities, but this generation is different. Today, our toys are interfering with our responsibilities. In some cases, our toys are even affecting our relationship with God, and yet we hold on to them anyway. Some time back, I ran across a comparison of various religions and their approach to toys, and please don't anyone take offense to this, but just some things that I found kind of humorous. Materialism, and you've heard of this one. The materialist says, he who dies with the most toys wins. You've probably all heard of that. But then there are other approaches. For an example, the Catholic says, he who denies himself the most toys wins. Islamic fundamentalist says, he who dies blowing up someone else's toys wins. The atheist says, there may be toys, but there is no toy maker. Polytheism says, no, Mr. Atheist, you're wrong. Actually, there are many toy makers. The evolutionist says, no, both you guys are wrong. The toys made themselves. The communist says everyone should get the same toy. The Amish says colorful toys with batteries are probably sinful. The guy who honors voodoo says, can I borrow your doll for a second? The Hindu says it's not nice to abuse plastic farm animals and put them in plastic bags. The Jehovah Witness says toys should be sold door to door. The Pentecostals say the best toys speak in an unknown tongue. Adventists say toys should not be played with on Saturdays. And Baptists say don't buy Disney toys, well, especially at Target. My point is, you can tell a lot about a person's attitude toward God by how they handle their toys. And this is what Paul says about the Thessalonians. He says, they turned to Jesus by turning away from their toys. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul commends the believers at Thessalonica for being model Christians. He vividly recalls their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience of hope. They even considered each other as beloved brethren. And even though they received the gospel in the face of fierce persecution, their affliction couldn't dampen the joy they received from the Holy Ghost. In fact, news of what was happening among them had spread to the surrounding areas. They had a tremendous testimony. They had gained quite a reputation. Paul really didn't have to brag too much about these guys because their vibrant faith spoke for itself. And everyone noted their attitude toward their toys. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. That goes back to our verses we read a moment ago in verses 3 and 4. Their work of faith, they turned to God from idols. Their labor of love, they served the living and true God. And their patience of hope to wait for his Son from heaven. They turned their back on their idols. They turned their back on their toys and their face toward God's Son. Certainly God is a father, and as a father, he loves his children very much. And he makes all things for our enjoyment. The Bible says every good gift and perfect gift comes from the Father, comes from above, the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, the Bible says in James. But just like a toy in the hands of a child, even a good gift can be dangerous if handled improperly. The days we're living in now have been called the information age. Information is no longer confined to great universities and laboratories or seats of power. A farmhouse in Kansas can harness the world from a kitchen table. In the quiet of a bedroom or the study or in a noisy office or airport, one can get linked to the world as long as there's an internet connection available. And in today's world, where is there not an internet connection available of some fashion or form? And now we carry these doorways into the world, or the world's doorways into us. We carry them around with us all the time. I carry mine on my belt, others in their pocket, ladies perhaps in your purse. In this age, it would be unwise, most likely, to not be connected in some fashion or form. I mean, where are we going to get our information? How are we going to communicate with others? The news, the weather, our bank account. How do you feel? How do you feel when you're not connected? Most of us kind of go into a state of panic almost. But any useful tool or toy can be turned into a dangerous weapon. A child can have access to pornographic material, even to predators. A teenager has access to information on how to make a bomb. Adults can see things they ought not see. There's not much preventing any individual from getting any information or entertainment that they want. It's there. It's often free for the taking. So the individual has to practice self-government, self-control over his tools and over his toys. It's here that the power of the Word of God comes into its own. Because only someone who is born again of the Spirit of God will desire to live a holy life. Only the strong will have power within himself to resist the temptations that this tool, toy, idol, smartphone, computer, iPad, or whatever it might be can throw at you. Because it can throw a lot at you. And I think you know that. We have to practice self-government. Of course, parents have to supervise the younger children in the use of this powerful thing. Teenage children need constant oversight. But no amount of policing will prevent them from doing the undesirable. If they really want to, they'll find some way to get away with it. Many of them are more savvy about these things than we are. And it is not only the misuse of the technology that we're concerned about. It's also their ability to cope with areas of life in this hostile world that might be opened up to them through the internet or through their smartphone or computer. I know we use it for business. We use it here at Pathway all the time. Kids can use it for schoolwork. There are many legitimate reasons. We can communicate with friends and relatives. We can contact the sick. It was especially true during COVID when we couldn't see people. We could contact them daily with our phones. We can catch the latest news and weather. We can even read the Bible, hear a sermon, this sermon. We can even buy and sell. It's almost limitless in the power this thing has. But wait a minute, what was it that I just said? I said it is almost limitless the power this thing has. And therein lies the danger. You know, even idols usually had their specialty. Maybe some god was the god of the harvest, another god was the god of rain, the other one was the god of fertility, whatever. One thing that the pagan god allegedly did quite well. But this thing, I'm talking about your smartphone, your computer, whatever, is good, well, it's good at just about everything. Well, it must be. The average American spends 7 hours and 4 minutes a day looking at a screen. Generation Z averages around 9 hours of screen time per day. So it must be important. It must be good at something, or we wouldn't be wasting this much time on it, would we? And why not? You know, it's smarter than me about a lot of things. This thing has more knowledge than I have. It can access more things than I can. It can remember more things than I can. This thing can do wonders. It's almost like a miracle worker. Yeah, but certainly, I think, accomplish more than a statue of the goddess Diana or praying to a cat. Actually, I can get answers from my phone much quicker. Oh, I hate to say this, much quicker than I can often get answers from God. And sometimes the answers are good. Other times, well, maybe not so much. But it sure sounds like an idol the more I talk about it, doesn't it? But it can't really be an idol, of course, because it's a tool, or maybe even a toy. I can have fun with it. I can play games with it. I can listen to music. I can look at comedy skits. You can't do that with an idol, or can you? Sometimes this thing even defies time. It can make time stand still or make time fly. I can spend hours talking or listening or watching or reading and playing. And then all of a sudden I look at the clock and say, my, have I been on this thing for the last 2 hours? I didn't realize it. So kids don't have time to do their homework or the chores. Mom didn't have time for household responsibilities. And Dad got engrossed in all the productive things he'd planned to do. Quite frankly, just didn't get done. This thing is addictive, but it's all innocent because it's just a tool or maybe a toy. But which is it? Is it a tool or a toy or an idol? I guess it depends on how, when, where, and for what purpose you use it. For example, a knife can be a weapon. A knife can be a tool. It could even be a toy. When I was a kid, we used to throw knives at targets to see who was the best knife thrower. So it could be all these things. Using your smartphone at home to check the ball scores on a Saturday afternoon, you might be using it as a tool. Doing the same thing at work probably makes it a toy. Checking the weather to see if you can do some outside work that your boss has asked you to do probably makes it a tool. I need to check and see if I can do what my boss asked me to do today. I need to check the weather. Maybe I need to do it this morning, not this afternoon. That makes it a valuable tool. Checking the weather while you're on your employer's time clock to check on the weather at the beach this week for your trip, well, that probably makes it a toy. Checking business emails makes it a tool. Checking personal emails while you're at work makes it a toy. Ignoring family or employee responsibilities or letting it hinder your service for God, that could even make it an idol. You know, the Bible says God is a jealous God. 100 years ago, if you were sick, you probably would call upon the Lord. If you were a Christian, you'd call upon the Lord, say, Lord, I'm not feeling well today. I got this pain in my neck or whatever the case might be. And Lord, I ask you to make me, help me feel better. I got work to do. And Lord, if it's not your will to heal me, Lord, could you let me know if I need to go to the doctor or take some medicine or just rest, or maybe I need to exercise? You'd call upon the Lord. Sometimes if you were led to call upon the doctor, he would then call upon the Lord and say, Lord, I need to know what to do. How can I best help this patient? But you see, probably today, if you woke up with a pain in the neck, and I'm not referring to some person, I'm referring to a legitimate pain in the neck, chances are the first thing you did, you checked out online. You checked online. You'd visit the Mayo Clinic or 25 other places to try to figure out what was wrong before you finally got around, perhaps, to talking to the Lord. You see, this can be a very, very helpful device. It can be. I use it quite often in my life, in the ministry. I use it quite often in the work God has called me to do. I used it to get some statistics even for preparing this message. It can be very, very helpful. But beware. Precious time is often wasted. How many hours are wasted by adults and children alike? Spiritual decline has often set in. Relationship problems have often arisen. Sometimes in the home, sometimes in the church, sometimes in the place of work. All because that respectable, smartphone or tablet or iPad or computer or whatever it might be has turned into an idol, masquerading still perhaps as a tool, maybe even masquerading as an innocent toy, just a little gadget, just something I have fun with, when in reality it's turned into an idol because it's taking you away from something or someone far more important. And that someone just very well might be the Lord Himself. Well, with that, I want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast. If our programs are a blessing to you, we always would enjoy hearing from you. And I also want to mention that our programs are available on the podcast, the Pathlight Podcast. You can check it there, where not only can you find this week's program available, but an archive of past week programs. Also, the program this week is available on Facebook. You can check out the Go Mix Christian Radio Facebook site, the Christian Bible College Facebook site, or the Pathway Christian Academy Facebook site, and there are others whereby it might be available. Until next time, this is T.D. Worthington. Say, may God richly bless you as you walk with Him over this coming week.